Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. This is part three of our three-part interview with Tom Donnan. So we concluding our interview today. It has been an informative ride. If you missed either of the prior two episodes, you need to go back and catch up. We do not have time to cover, all the stuff that we've already gone over this week. His information is just... it's stuff that you do not hear on the evening news. Some of it the government doesn't want you to hear. We've discovered that, especially concerning the huge asteroid that was, considered a near miss. They didn't even tell you about it until 8 hours before it was supposed to happen. And the only reason they got that is because it leaked. But if you want more information on that, go back and listen to tomorrow's episode because we don't have time to recover all that. What I wanted to talk about is how cities on the West Coast are basically dying. Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Matter of fact, we're going to start off this question with Tom about what is happening in Los Angeles City Hall right now. So let's jump back into the interview. Let's talk about one more thing here that caught my attention, and that's what's happening out in Los Angeles. Tell me what's going on in City Hall out in Los Angeles.
Well, they have a huge homeless problem out there. No, and so there's 10 cities that are, I was raised in the 60s, and we had a skid row in Chicago, but they had resolved that issue. Well, they got multiple skid rows in L.A., and the problem is the garbage. The garbage and the human feces and the contributions to bad health. Yeah. That are taking place is so pervasive that the rat population has exploded. Now, mind you, is that people can be walking down the street and they step in the rat's feces, right? And it's on the bottom of their shoe. So they walk into City Hall. Yeah. This is true. They walk into City Hall and now it's on the carpet. And they're having a typhoid problem in the city, in the City Hall, to where they are going to rip out all of the carpets because they want to try to keep it clean. Yeah. Now, this is not good.
Not at all.
No.
And again, it goes back to not involving God in a solution. The man thinks, oh, well, this is what we can do to fix the problem. Usually it's, let's throw more money at the problem, And that's not the answer. No. These people that are on, quote-unquote, skid row, these people are there, some of them mental issues, some of them, yes. Many of them because they've lost all hope. There's nothing else for them. They're surviving the best way they know how, which, unless someone shares the gospel with them and then loves on them by sharing the gospel and providing for them, here's some food, here's some clothes, come on, let's try and get you cleaned up so you can get a job. I mean, this economy, they say there's a million jobs more than what we have people, able to work. These people can get jobs if someone helps them, not by secular standards, but you have to start with the Spirit. Have to start with the Spirit. Because if you can give someone, that's a drug addict and living on the street, like, you can give them $1,000 a week, and they're like, oh, party, But if you minister to their spirit and show them God can help you, but let's help God help you, And go from that angle, now their entire attitude's changed, and they understand, what's impossible for man is possible with God. And they start trusting him, which is called building up their faith, right? And the whole situation can change. But as long as man keeps thinking, well, we got the answers, we don't need church, we don't need religion, we don't need God, we got the answers, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, yeah, it's showing up in the West Coast, in major places, and they feel as though if you just give them what they need, they'll do the right thing and become good people. Yeah. And too many of them are continuing to go down the spiral, and is bringing all kinds of devastation not only to the neighborhoods but also to visitors, and ultimately to the people who are trapped in this. Their lives are destroyed.
Yeah. Amen. We started in the Midwest. Let's end up in the Midwest. You just got back from a trip, didn't you?
Well, I've been moving and shaking lately. If I'm in the Pastor Phil and I, we say if we're home for a couple of weeks, we start getting itchy to get out there again, you know? And so I had been home for a while, but he was going to be in the Midwest here. I picked him up at the airport at Midway in the beginning of March, and we went to a little town called La Salle, Peru. And here in Illinois, and then we went onward to Clinton, Iowa, before I brought him back. But it involves four different ministries here. And so I didn't put the pieces together until I got back and I started thinking about it, because this little church down in La Salle, Peru, they have about 50, 60 people that are faithful, but yet they got their eye on a piece of property that's more than $1 million. And we're talking like acreage, you know. And they have big dreams that will be built up to $20 million by the time they're done. And I was surprised that they have already gone through the process of getting the loan for this to take place. Now, $1 million loan with just 50 or 60 faithful people, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is a big dream, but, you know, we have a big God, and he can start from small, humble beginnings, and he can do the tremendous thing. So we went out to the property, and we took a look. It was a little colder that day than I was comfortable with, you know, so it was a quick look, you know. And then we moved down to Clinton, Iowa, and while we were there, we were in a home church, right? Oh, I wish I had thought about this before. I was told their testimony when we were out to breakfast one morning, and I was in tears. Phil was in tears, and he had already heard this story. They had two sons that had a very, very rare disease, liver disease, and they were in the final stages of their life. And, you know, one was in the early teens, and one was in, you know, like 8 or 9. And they had Make-A-Wish, and they already fulfilled their Make-A-Wish, right? And so they were in desperate need, and they had to have tubes in for feeding and very strict dietary rules. And then they got pulled out to Calvary Lighthouse one night in Rochelle, where Dr. Horvat has been holding tremendous services out there. And they went to the conference that was out there. And the woman got prayed for, the mom got prayed for, and she's out like a rock on the floor, you know? And she's feeling this wonderful presence of God. And then she looks around to find out what's happening to her boys. And she sees that somebody's praying for her boys. And then her older daughter, somebody's praying for her daughter. And then the daughter receives a healing gift. And she's praying for people and seeing them healed instantly, you know. And then her husband gets prayed for, and he's down on the floor. You know, there are six people in that family, and God touched all of them in one night.
Amen.
And not only that, the oldest son felt his disease leave him when they prayed for him, and 6 months later, the other son was healed from his disease. Amen. And then the government showed up to find out why they weren't getting their medical needs being met. And she's telling them, listen, they don't need it. They've been healed. What do you mean they've been healed? For 8 hours, they grilled them on why they weren't giving them the medical needs for their issue. She tried to tell them, listen, even the genetic marker that showed that they had the disease was gone. Absolutely amazing. Amen. And of course, you know, that sovereign act just drove me to tears, you know, of God touching this family. And then they started a small house church. And in this house church, they brought us out to show us a building that they are planning to buy. They got 50, 60 faithful people and a building that they're going to buy for a church. And then they brought us out to a piece of property where they want to have a conference center. Again, big dreams, right? Okay, so now Pastor Phil starts talking about how he has ordered two buildings that like portable buildings, they come out to his church. They got a small piece of property there, you know, so they can fit the two temporary buildings up there because he is getting ready for an increase. Now, my own church, Joliet First Assembly here in Joliet, is that they are going to move to three services because they're, you know, they're bringing chairs in, you know.
Amen.
And yeah, people are coming in, and sometimes they're driving by, and they can feel something, and they pull in, and they come in the church, and they feel so good, they wind up coming every week.
Amen.
No? Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. And people are healed and delivered, and the presence of God, even the policeman that's there for security, he's not a believer, but he says, I don't know what goes on here. He says, but I feel good, and I feel good for the whole week, and I'm planning on coming back every Sunday.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, but we're getting ready to go to a third service, and Pastor Rusty has already got in the works satellite churches. They had somebody call up from a church that was about 60 miles north that it just fell apart. They had like 12 people. Mm. And so what they called up and they said, listen, we'll give you this church. It's completely paid off. We'll give you this church if you'll take it. And so they're going to start a satellite church with the vision for having an additional second church. Now, what does that mean? In my own personal life, I can see that God's given me a time off to rest because the journey has been incredible. There's a book that a friend of mine from church, Stacy, just asked me to read, and it was called Three Kings, but I can't remember who wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And it basically talks about Saul, David, and Abisal. And how David went through his crushing, and how in that crushing he learned to follow God and allowed him to work things out even if they didn't look good. You know, he became a very proficient at dodging spears. You know, even though God had anointed him, he was not going to do anything against God's anointed, and he trusted God was going to deliver him and bring him through. Okay, so now we have this here where I can see that in my personal life, God's given me a rest, but I can see that he's building up for something. And I am very encouraged that I believe that in 2020 or maybe even before a little bit, you know, end of the year, we're going to see a revival. We're going to see a flow of the Holy Spirit. How can these people be getting ready to spend millions of dollars off of a small church gathering if God doesn't plan to bring an increase?
That's right. Amen. Yeah, I've been praying for, you know, the third great awakening. That's what I've been praying for, and my prayers every day as I pray for this nation is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit from north to south, east to west, and all points in between.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I
sense it too. I believe it's gonna. I believe it's already started, but it's just starting to pick up traction.
Well, it's not like these four churches got together and say, "Hey, we're gonna do this." No,
right.
They're being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
No. And I saw, when I was watching the Kavanaugh meetings, you know, the hearings for the Kavanaugh thing, and I saw how evil it was just operating, it crushed me. And I said, Lord, we need a tsunami wave to bring 100 million people into salvation to flow across this country.
Yep. Amen. That's right. That's right. So what do you see, how can I phrase this, as the outpouring begins? What can a local church, wherever they may be, what can they do to tap into what God is doing?
Well, you're you know, leading me really well here, you know. All right, so I just came back from interviews and research for the next book, and I was in Bethany, Oklahoma. All right, so I'd never been there before. I was blown away, you know. I brought up this, you know, adage. I said, you can't throw a rock without hitting a church. Now, that's amazing. There was so many churches in this community. I was blown away. And they got some huge Nazarene churches out there. And I couldn't take it no more. I pulled into the parking lot and I walked in and I started asking this girl questions. And she goes, well, you need to talk to one of the pastors. And this gentleman by the name of a pastor by the name of Marcus came down and we talked for about 20 minutes and he gave me some really good insights. So I started doing an investigation. And what happened is that Bethany was formed by the Nazarenes and the Pentecost Holiness Movement in 1909. They wanted to be able to practice their faith outside of the influences that were happening in other communities. So they forged ahead. Now, why does it make a difference? It's because if you're Pentecostal, you are believing in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring. But in the holiness, you are seeking repentance and purity. Now, you enter those things into worship, and you have gotten the ear of God. Amen. Now, in this community, I was stunned. I was stunned, of course. I didn't see any taverns. I didn't see any movie theaters. You know, I was mentioning to people as I'm going from, you know, stores and stuff, I said, this is a great place to raise a family. No? And you could feel that the presence of God was settled on this place and how he had brought the healing to this land. And so I spent half of a day in the hotel room just running this stuff through my mind, saying, how did this happen, Lord?
Amen.
And it was because it's a spiritual hotspot where people got together and they had adhered to God's principles and loved them with all their heart, and they wanted, you know, to walk in purity and were willing to pay the price of repentance, and God had poured out his blessings upon mm-hmm. them, which is obvious. Now we're 110 years down the road, and you know what happens is that you peak, and you peak and you start sliding down the slippery slope, mm-hmm. right? And what happens is that comfort starts to become the abrasiveness that promotes purity and holiness, because that comes with a price. You have to work at it.
Yeah.
No? And so they are having their challenges there, but even though they're having their challenges, they still have a lot more of the benefits that came with that original thrust of a small group of people to set a place apart for God. And can you imagine what would happen? Because now we're looking at our comforts. You know, I watch the economy all the time. I can't believe it. It's lasted this long. Yeah. No. And if that falls apart, then we're not going to have the comfort that people have been relying on. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe one of the reasons why God is getting ready, because this comfort zone is going to collapse and people are going to be looking for God, and he's going to have his people ready to accept him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can see the pattern over and over again in the Bible where, you know, everything's going great and then people start to drift away from God because they think they're in charge. And then as things begin to crumble around them, they try even harder to fix it on their own until finally disaster and calamity and everything else happens. Then they come back to God.
Yes.
I see it happening in the United States. I mean,
yeah.
I've been saying it. I've hit it real hard the first 3 or 4 months on every sermon I was preaching this year was on, you know, the United States needs to come back to God. And it's, I want to say it's beginning to happen. But yet there are places like the West Coast where they figure, you know, God's not the answer, man's the answer. And, you know, they're reaping what they sow.
Exactly. And the people are suffering because of it.
Yeah.
You know, you have people that are in control, the elitists that are making the decisions, and the people are suffering. Yep. Now, one of the other items that I was there is that there was an intercessory prayer group meeting that was being held outside of Oklahoma. And I was trying to figure out, well, why did I have to drive 60 miles to be part of this, right? It was in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, sometimes what happens when revival breaks out, it breaks out on the peripheral, you know, and then it comes into the main areas. So here you have this steadfast group of intercessors in the church that I'm involved in. We have about 100 people or more on a Thursday come twice a day for prayer, you know, to start, you know, the John Kilpatrick, I love his story, you know, where he brought people to the point where they were getting so tired of coming for a prayer once a week that they were on the verge of doing it. And then the Holy Spirit showed up and changed everything. No. And so people pushing through with intercessory prayer, with pushing through with their desire to get a deeper relationship with God, even if it means looking at their own pain and sinfulness. No, yeah. Because it's getting bad. It's getting very bad.
Yeah. I love it when you see God moving, you know, and people's hearts are being changed, their lives are being changed, which changes the community, which changes the area. Ultimately, it'll change the country. And, you know, I mean, I look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and, you know, forget about Trump syndrome and all that stuff. I'm talking about Congress themselves thinking they have the answers and actually not outright blatantly trying to shut down God and churches and the spread of Christianity, but doing everything they can to discourage anyone from pursuing it.
Well, yeah, that's terrible.
And it's and that's one of the things, you know, we talked about. All the disasters we're talking about is as a result of that. I mean,
yeah, you know, yeah, moving away from God. It cost us. It cost us more than some people are willing to pay. Yeah. You know, I think about Psalms 107. You know, where the person was sliding down the slope to despair until they found themselves in prison. And when they were in prison, they started calling out to God. Well, you know, that didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a journey. That was a journey that took place. But then as soon as they got to that place where they connected with God's heart, he quickly ran to them to turn it around.
Yeah, amen. Look at Jonah. Jonah. Okay, God says, Jonah, go over to preach to Nineveh because I want them to be born again. You know, I want them saved. I want them to repent and come back to me. And Jonah's like, no.
Wrong like, answer.
Yeah, yeah. Nineveh was, you know, they were so so vicious and so, I mean, they were the ISIS of the day, right? I mean, they used to kill thousands and tens of thousands of people when they come into a territory just because they could, you know. I mean, they were brutal, and, you know, Jonah wanted to see, no, you go over there and you wipe them out, teach them that way, you know. And he knew the calling, so he decided, you know, I'm going to go as far west as I can, so he went all the way to Tarsus. And said, now I need to go even farther. I mean, he might have been shooting for the New World. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, so God, you know, we know the story. It brought the storm and all the sailors, you know, and Jonah's down in the bottom of the boat, as far away he could get. And they, you know, all of them were calling on their own gods to, you know, maybe one of our gods will be the one that's angry and we could appease them, you know. And every person on the ship was praying to their god. Except Jonah.
And he goes, because he knew.
Why aren't you? Yeah, he knew if he prayed, it was going to, you know, and they said, well, and finally he said, I am serving Jehovah. And the one who created everything, the one who created the seas and the wind and all that. And they said, well, pray to him then. Maybe he'll listen to you, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, the only thing that'll work, and he's thinking, you know, he still doesn't want to go to Nineveh. They said, throw me overboard. Thinking, there, then I still don't have to go to Nineveh. I'll just die here.
Yeah.
And they did, and the storm ceased almost immediately. And instead of going to preach to these heathens in Nineveh and get them to repent and seek out God, he got all these heathen sailors to repent and seek out the true living God, right? So he's still an evangelist. And then what happens? God has that fish swallow him up, and where's the fish headed? Right back in the opposite direction that he was just coming from. He had his own personal biological submarine shooting him back up to dropping him off on the beach so he could continue his trip. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, then he went back. You know, we know the story. He went and preached for 4 days and then set up, you know, to put it in modern vernacular, he would have had his little umbrella tent from the beach, you know, like we have on the beaches. He would have had his little umbrella tent with his little, you know, chair, like he, you know, fold out chair and got his little iced tea. He's going to sit there now, watch the fireworks show, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. And he gets upset because God heard their prayer. They did repent. And God, you know, they repented of their sins. They turned from their wicked ways. And then God says, I repent of what I was going to do. Repent doesn't mean God was sorry. It means turning in the different direction. That's what repentance really is. You're going one way, and to repent means you turn around and come back the other way. So instead of destroying them, God turned and said, I'm going to allow them to prosper, because that's a witness for him now in that part of the world. You know?
Yes.
And boy, that made Jonah mad.
It did.
And you can read the rest of the story.
Yeah. Well, it's a good illustration is that we have a big God. Yeah. Now, he stays his hand in activity to where we live life thinking that, okay, you know, we can go down this road and nothing's going to happen. Yep. But then there's like Amos, the book of Amos, where he tried to get them to repent, and then he stayed his hand for a certain amount of time, and then he says, okay. You know, we're at that time now where we're thinking, oh, man, is he a big God? Could he actually do these things? The problem is that when he goes to do these things, it's too late.
Yeah.
No, it's better to get it in the front. I'm sure the people of Amos's time would have repented easily if they knew what it was going to cost them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What did Jesus say about Sodom and Gomorrah?
Yeah.
You know, Sodom and Gomorrah were repented in sackcloth and ashes if they've seen the stuff going on that you're looking at. But it'll be better for them in the day of judgment than it will be for you because I'm here and you're ignoring it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we talked about the foundation and the founding of the Nazarene Church in Bethany, Oklahoma, and all that. Look at our founding fathers forming this nation. That's why we've been so blessed. But now we're doing everything in our power to say it wasn't God all along. Matter of fact, all those founding fathers, they were so bad. They're so terrible, you know. As you know, that again, that's just inviting the judgment. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. But, Tom, we are way over time.
Already?
It's already been an hour.
Man, oh, man.
One more time, give us your contact information.
That would be healingthenation1776@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Facebook page, Healing the Nation Ministries. And I have an author's page on Amazon under Tom Donnan.
All right. What was the Facebook page again?
Facebook page is Healing the Nation Ministries.
All right. I'll put that in there. All right. I'll put notes to all, or links to all that in the show notes. Tom, it's always been good, man. You never fail to deliver. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the program today.
It's amazing how quickly it goes by, and we have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We definitely have a connection going, and I know people can sense that. And Tom, let's do this again. I mean, every time you come on, we have a great time.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that is all the time we have for today. I encourage you to order Tom's book, One Door Between Us. It's available on Amazon. I'll have the link to it in the show notes down below. You need to get this book. It's awesome. It really is. And reach out to Tom. Email him. Contact, have him come speak to your group. I mean, I'm sure he's willing to do that if you guys can work out all the details. But until next time, for Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.